Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yes, that line forms on the right, babe. Not that Mackey's back in town. Look out, old Mackey is back.
Yeah.
Chris McMahon.
Sports Radio 101.
On the Fan on this Tuesday morning. Mick Monagle here with you. I got you for 3 hours, taking you all the way to 5 o'clock. And the warm-up show, taking your phone calls at 888-808-1019. Fliegerman on the other side. And again, on this Election Day Tuesday, we made it. 3 hours till 5 a.m. And we're going to get to everything. We'll get to the opt-out that never was in the case of Gerrit Cole. Standing up to Scott Boras, and Scott Boras keeps taking L's all the way up until his Juan Soto contract. And I don't know how you take an L on that, but maybe Scott Boras is going to try and find out. But as we start this Tuesday morning, and we're coming off Monday Night Football where the Chiefs just don't lose, right? You got two-point conversions back in the conversation again after the Giant debacle and everybody hating on two-point conversions. An opportunity to go win a game and beat the defending champions on the road when you're the Tampa Bay Bucks and you're missing your two best offensive players and you come down and Baker Mayfield ties the game and instead of going for the win, you're playing for overtime against Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs. What dopes. The amount of dopes head coaching in the NFL is amazing to me. And when is someone going to step up and beat this team? You know, I mean, it's amazing to me. DeAndre Hopkins is just getting warmed up, going to start to get into the fold and start to communicate and work with Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid. And this offense you've seen, obviously, now Travis Kelce, back-to-back games of double-digit receptions. This team was struggling. This team continues to win games despite, you know, they shouldn't. They're much better than this Tampa Bay. You expect them to be as defending two-time champ. You expect them to be better than Tampa Bay, but they're right there in all these games, and it's amazing. They just find ways to win. The fact that they're undefeated and Patrick Mahomes is having a mid-season, that they are undefeated, and they haven't had a running back. They've had injuries and disasters at wide receiver. Like, the idea they are undefeated just speaks to the greatness that is Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid, the culture they have built there, and just the idea that they know exactly how to win. And, you know, as we talk about head coaching and we talk about winning cultures and we talk about all this stuff, I turned to the Giants today, and I got to tell you, I know we've talked a lot about Brian Daboll and the decisions he made in that game and everything else, but again, the announcement today, and I don't want to just focus on Daniel Jones over and over and over again. I don't. But as I sit here today, and I'm getting ready as a Giant fan to try and think about the future, because that's where we are now that officially week 9 is over, week 10 is about to start, the Giants are going to fly out to Germany to take on the lowly Carolina Panthers. And what I'm telling you is an important game to go out there and lose. And the announcement today that Daniel Jones is still going to be the quarterback for the New York Giants makes absolutely no sense to me. And I'll tell you this. I respect Brian Daboll. I think he can be, has been, and will be a good head coach in this league. I question a lot of things about him. I question his play calling. I question his ability to put together a two-point conversion, that's for sure, 0 for 6, coming out of the two attempts in Week 9 last week on Sunday. I debate whether or not he can fix the offensive line, like all the same issues that have built that have hindered this team, that we have seen the same mistakes with the kicker, the play calling issues, everything else that has gone on. I still believe in this guy, and I've been yelling about this over and over and over again. And they're playing. I saw the highlights being played on Jaden Daniels and how he wanted him. Would you trade up? You've seen enough? Oh, yeah, I would trade up. You could tell how badly he wants another quarterback. He's brought here because he developed another quarterback. And I will say this. I think that it makes sense to keep Brian Daboll and Joe Shane running this show. I think you could fire them. I'm disappointed in the performance. This is year number 3, and they are 2-7 yet again with no hope before Thanksgiving. I'm frustrated, but I understand keeping it together. I understand continuity. I understand tired of hiring and firing. If you believe in a guy, if you understand that this is a building process that got hurt by year one of it with the actual success they showed and the first real season of competence since Tom Coughlin left. Like, that first real season of competence and winning, and you want to hold on to that. And despite the fact that that winning hurt this team and hurt this rebuild, and you understand where the roster is and you understand everything else. And we'll get to all the different talking points about Saquon Barkley and things being said around the league by players. We're debating whether or not the wide receiver should be talking to his former buddy and college teammate on the sidelines and what he's saying about the play calling after the game. We're focused on all the other things except the fact that Brian Daboll and Joe Shane, if they are going to be here, need to, deserve to, and should be developing a young quarterback at some point in their life as New York Giant executives and head coaches. And I'm telling you right now, if they allow Daniel Jones to go out there, and I said this yesterday, and I mean this, I respect the hell out of Daniel Jones for one aspect. He is a tough son of a gun. He goes out there. He's willing to take the hits. When he runs the football, he looks for contact. I don't know what the field is like out in Germany. I have no idea how his body's going to handle the play. I don't know. But I'll tell you this. I'm not expecting an injury, and I know you can't play for injuries. But if this coach and GM throw this guy out there on a dead season when it's time to evaluate everything you got, I would rather see Locke that they gave $5 million to and see if maybe with the magic touch of Brian Daboll, you get something out of him. I don't know. DeVito, we saw him play last year. Let's see what he can do and play this year. If they run out this quarterback on a dead season and he gets hurt and they are stuck with him next year, they deserve everything they get and everything that follows. These are two guys who are lucky to be keeping their jobs. The owner has given them a vote of confidence. I don't know if it lasts through a 2-win season. I would think it would, especially if they do the right thing and pull the quarterback, who without question was graded very well in this game last week, the highest graded Giant on the field, other than the terrible mistake on the turnover, which, again, is a terrible mistake that he keeps making. But besides that, he played fairly well. I'm not saying he's the reason they lost. I'm not even putting him as the biggest reason they're 2-7. But the fact of the matter is they are 2-7. He is not a quarterback that can elevate them past that. He makes $40 million a year. He's inhibiting them from putting together a better roster. Moving forward with him makes absolutely no sense. And this coach and GM are put here because they drafted and developed Josh Allen out in Buffalo. And this decision to stick with him could hinder their ability to do it here for the New York Giants. If he gets hurt while they're playing, I mean, they deserve everything they get if Daniel Jones gets hurt. If I'm John Mara, I fire them. Because if I'm stuck with Daniel Jones, I have proof positive. I know he went to the playoffs with him 2 years ago. It doesn't work with Brian Daboll. Why would I have Brian Daboll as the head coach of this team if I'm stuck with Daniel Jones? Like, the whole reason I want to stick with Brian Daboll and Joe Shane is because I trust them in a rebuild situation with a young quarterback. And I know the quarterback isn't the class coming out, you know, with Sanders and Ward. I understand it's not the dynamic quarterback draft that it could have been that we're looking at this year. May, we'll see. I think he's showing glimpses already in his short, brief time of playing here with the Patriots of being a star in this league. And obviously, Jaden Daniels is clearly a star in this league. And I understand that we don't know if any of that's going to happen and the draft is a crapshoot and all that. I don't care. You know what's not a crapshoot? 2-7. That seems like a finality to me. And I am tired of the Giants seasons continuing to look like this. And I don't know why. And this better be. I'll continue to say it until I don't. You got the bye coming up. If you want to give a full 2 weeks to get whoever you're going to put at quarterback, whether it's Locke to justify a $5 million contract, whether it's DeVito because of his upside, you want to get a look at him and see if he could like really be a part of this team moving forward, or maybe you can get something for him. I don't know. But like whatever the case may be, if you don't want to put a quarterback in a tough situation of sending him to Germany, you better pray that Daniel Jones makes it through this week. And I understand wanting to give a full 2 weeks and work in there. There is no excuse. This is the last time I'm going to yell about it. There is no reason on God's green earth why Daniel Jones should start week 12 against the Tampa Bay Bucks. Honestly, that is malpractice if it happens. You want to make the case that it's you're going to Germany. You don't want to embarrass yourself on the international stage and throw a quarterback who's not ready, hasn't worked with the number one team, like you could embarrass yourself any further. And in fact, this game to me is extremely important to lose. There are 7 other teams with only 2 wins, including the Carolina Panthers. Let's get a leg up on the Panthers inside this draft. And that's where we are. Make no mistake. That's where Giant fans should be, where the Giants organization should be. It sucks. And I understand you can't play to lose or coach to lose. I don't expect them to do that. But what you can do as the trade deadline approaches right here, you move everybody out. You pull the quarterback that gives you the best chance to win. And you go out to Germany and expect a crap show of epic proportions and do yourself, do this organization, do this team, do this franchise, and do this fan base what's best for everybody and lose this stinking game. Because if you think I'm going to come away at whatever, noon on Sunday, feeling good about a victory in Germany against the Carolina Panthers, you got another thing coming. And I don't understand why they are sticking with Daniel Jones. I honestly don't get it. It's time to move on. Put it past everybody. It's best for him. It's best for everybody. Let's move forward. It's no longer the future of this team. Once you have a quarterback, and I'm tired of hearing the same stuff, man. I heard a caller as I'm coming in, was sitting in the studio, and it's like, well, he had this coach and that coach and the offensive line and this and that. Same thing with like Micah Parsons. We'll get into it. Talking about Saquon Barkley. Right? Micah Parsons saying, oh, the Giants didn't respect him. The Giants moved on from him. And now the entire league is paying the price of the Giants' stupidity. Like, do you know what that comment actually means? Like, if you can read between the lines, you know what they're saying with that comment? What Micah Parsons means? It means, why did you have to send Saquon Barkley to a team where he can actually impact the league? I was so happy with him being on the meaningless Giants, doing absolutely nothing, with the same ability, mind you, the same strengths, the same greatness, the same ability, the same, you know, big play ability, the exact same player. You're stupid for sending him to the Eagles, and now he's actually making the league play. Why didn't you keep him in that lousy Giant box in the corner that nobody pays attention to, where he's unable to impact the rest of the NFL because the Giants are so lousy? That's what Micah Parsons is saying when he tells you, oh, man, the Giants were stupid and now the whole league is paying for it. In other words, why couldn't the Giants make him pay? Why couldn't the Giants make the league pay with Saquon Barkley? Why can't the Giants make Daniel Jones better, right? We can ask that question. You know what? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter whether it was Shurmur or McAdoo or I know he didn't really have McAdoo, but Shurmur, Judge, I don't care. Poor offensive line play. Again, I can't go back and revisit and change things for Daniel Jones. I can't go back and get him Brian Daboll from day one. I can't go in a time machine and fix Daniel Jones. No one is saying that the Giants aren't complicit in breaking Daniel Jones. They most certainly are. They most certainly are. They have been an inept franchise from the minute Daniel Jones walked out onto that platform and hugged the commissioner. No doubt. That doesn't change where we are today. I can't take it anymore. Why something is broken? You walk into a room, I got two kids. A lamp gets broken on the farm. Who broke it? I'll get 17 different answers from those two kids. None of it matters. The lamp is broken. I can't go back in time and teach my kids not to break the lamp. It's over for Daniel Jones. There's no point in running him out there, no matter whose fault it is. Don't break the next guy and give yourself a chance to get the next guy you want. I just, it still boggles my mind. We're answering questions about two-point conversions on a team that's 2-6. We're answering questions about comments from the wide receiver about whether or not he likes the play calling or if he's doing the right thing on the sidelines. Like, and in the meantime, we're running out the same quarterback who could torpedo next year. I don't care about this year. I don't care. I'm glad the two-point conversions didn't work because what if they won that game against Washington? That's where we're at. All I care about is next year. And running Daniel Jones out there is the only thing that kills next year. Next year is going to be a difficult year for the Giants anyway. We all know it. It's still a lot more roster building. I don't know what the quarterback's going to be. They might not even, considering who the quarterbacks are, they might not even start quarterback year one. They might bring in another guy. They might bring in the Sam Darnolds of the world to hold his hand through a season. I don't know. Next year is going to be tough, but what I do know is Daniel Jones on the books for $40 million because they ran him out in Germany in a meaningless game against Carolina and he hurt himself on a field that I don't know how they treat. Like that is what I can't deal with. It's time for the Giants to recognize what all of us have recognized. This year's dead. And this owner needs to come out and fire Brian Daboll today or give them the backing so that they're not out there making poor decisions to try and salvage a season that it doesn't matter if it's salvageable. And even if it is, salvaging it is the worst thing they can do. It's impossible. I can't take this team. Daniel Jones, it's over. We've reached that time. I thought it was last week. Hell, I thought it was 2 weeks ago. I know I'm early to the party. And I'm not taking bows for being right. That's not the point of it. I understand not wanting to do it until, like, really mathematically. But I don't know who could possibly tell you this season's still alive at 2-7. And if the season's dead and the quarterback's not part of the future, there's only one worst-case scenario. Worst-case scenario is Daniel Jones gets hurt. Why would you risk that? And if it happens, they deserve what they get. If that happens, they deserve what they get. Giant fans don't, but they do. And the Giant fans who defend Daniel Jones, I understand. He wasn't bad in that game. He's had a couple of games this year where he wasn't terrible. He's not the worst thing I've ever seen. He's just not good enough. He's just not good enough. He has bad habits. He's not good enough to uplift the team. He doesn't make the play in the critical moments. He doesn't make the big throw. He doesn't attack down the field. He doesn't put up points. He doesn't. I'm tired of having this conversation. The Giants need to move on for their own sanity and to change the tone and tenor of this season and this franchise. And it needs to start this week. And if not this week, it better. That's the only thing I'm thinking. That you can have a long extended coming off the bye, 2 weeks to install this new quarterback into the offense and give him a full 2 week process of getting one reps. But it's over. And the Giants need to start acting like it. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. We'll get to Boris. We will get to the Yankees, Brian Cashman, the opt-out that never was with Gerrit Cole. All that consternation, all that worry, all that what could they do, what should they do to opt out for nothing. And then again, some as taking shots at the Giants as Micah Parsons did at the Cowboys. More stuff from Joe Kelly talking about the New York Yankees, more sound, more people commenting, but the Joe Kelly stuff in particular. We're going to get into it, and I got a real question for the New York Yankee fan base. 888-808-1019, McMonagle here with you, rocking with you all the way until 5 o'clock. We talk a little Knicks as well, as they still are struggling to find themselves in this early season as they lose to Houston last night. The bench only gets 3 points. Not enough to beat this young Houston team, and it's just a matter of finding themselves in this early part of the season with this new team. A lot of minutes for only game 6, the entire second half played by Brunson and everything. So the same questions about Thibodeau, questions about the bench, questions about the communication and getting together. But with only 6 games, the Knicks are still finding themselves in this young season. But we can talk about the Knicks as well. A lot going on this Tuesday morning, Election Day morning. Go out there and vote. I think the polls open up at 6 a.m. by me. I don't know where they open up by you, but go out there, vote today. It's important. Whoever you think should be the next president of the United States, whatever your political leaning is, go out there and voice it. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. Quick break. Come back with your...
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first 3 orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Phone calls right here on The Fan.
Your official station to talk Jets. The Fan, 101.9 FM and always live on the free Odyssey app. Download it today.
It's been a rough week. It's a lot of heartache. For the Yankee Giant fan such as myself, a lot of heartache. I mean, the Yankees have an inning of epic proportions in the fifth. I got to hear former Red Sox and people who hate the Yankees going on Boston podcast killing the Yankees, and then the Yankee fans like, yeah, great. Love that Joe Kelly, which is obnoxious. We'll get into that later. The Giants continue to lose. Just continue to put forth just good enough performances. And then, like, we're focused on the wrong thing. And, like to me, the Micah Parsons thing. Hey, Fleegs, I know you played it before, and I know I didn't tell you during the break, but if you can play that Micah Parsons audio, please, if you get a second, let me know when you have it. Because this is the epitome. Like, Micah Parsons thinks he's getting on the Giants for one thing, and he's not. Like, this is one of the more, like, just straightforward. Someone thinks, Micah Parsons thinks he's dogging on the Giants, and he is, but not in the way he's thinking. And this is the exact problem with the thought process of many fans and many people, and this is the problem with the conversation around Saquon Barkley.
Here, this is, say this sorry. Is vintage Saquon, but this was always who Saquon was. Since I've known him at Penn State until now, I knew this is what he was capable of. It was, honestly, this is a blessing in disguise because you for Saquon, this is a blessing in disguise just off the strength of people are seeing what you're capable of when people appreciate you. The Giants did not appreciate him. And now the rest of the league is facing the consequences of the Giants' stupidity.
All right, so that's Micah Parsons of the Dallas Cowboys on his podcast. And he did hint to what I'm talking about. I didn't hear that entire full clip. I just heard the last bit of it. And he's hinting a little bit to what I'm talking about. But at the end, when he says, they didn't appreciate you. They didn't appreciate you. And now the rest of the league is paying for their stupidity. And that comment means the Giants were stupid for not appreciating him, not keeping him, giving him a contract and keeping him a New York Giant. And now the whole league has to pay for it because he's with Philadelphia dominating. It's not the stupidity of the New York Giants for letting him go. It's the inability for having a team around him that could make him a winner. That's what he's saying. That's what nobody understands. It wasn't stupid to let him go. He's been with the New York Giants. They appreciated him. Right? They picked up his option. They tagged him, which you get a lot of money for the tag. I know it's not a contract. They didn't appreciate him because they watched what we all watched. Losing. Losing with him. And Saquon and Micah Parsons there is saying the rest of the league is paying for it now. In other words, we didn't have to pay for Saquon's greatness when he was with the Giants because the Giants weren't good enough to make his greatness pay and cost the rest of the league. We were happy he was on the Giants because he couldn't do anything, because his greatness didn't impact winning, because the rest of the roster wasn't good enough. The Giants weren't stupid for letting him go. The Giants have been inept as a franchise and didn't justify keeping that level of running back and paying him to not be good enough to win. He was here last year. The Giants played the Eagles last year with Saquon Barkley. The Giants played the Eagles over the course of 6 years with Saquon Barkley. It didn't matter. I just saw that Boston Scott's is finally healthy and he's going to showcase for a couple teams. The great Boston Scott dominated the New York Giants. Like, the Giants aren't stupid for letting Saquon go. I know this narrative is around. Like, they're not. They're not. And whether or not they handled it properly, whether or not they could go back and keep Daniel Jones instead of keep Saquon Barkley instead of Daniel Jones. Like, that's a different conversation. I wish now, hindsight being 2020, off of that playoff year, they recognized what it was and that Daniel Jones wasn't very good. And if he was going to get $40 million on the open market, God bless. I wish they would have had that insight. They felt like they needed a quarterback. They had no other option. They built a two-year plan and a contract that they can get out of after 2 years, unless they're stupid enough to continue to play him and let him get hurt. But they gave themselves a two-year window to see if Daniel Jones can be the guy and get better off that year, and if he failed, which he clearly has, that they could duck out of it after 2 years. And it's cost them. But Saquon Barkley isn't going to help this team. They're not winning right now. The rest of the league isn't going, oh, wow. Like, they had this for 6 years with Saquon Barkley. Six. And they couldn't win. And it's not his fault. Don't get me wrong at all. I am not. Saquon Barkley did everything he could to help this team win. The team was inept. That's what he's saying. Like, that is so, like, you want to get mad. When Micah Parsons says, now the rest of the league is paying for their stupidity, it's not the stupidity isn't letting him go. The stupidity is Dave Gettleman and Joe Shane and the rest of them not being able to build up a roster, an offensive line that could allow him to help the Giants win in the 6 years he was here. Now, I know some of those years, a year and a half of that was injured, but the stupidity isn't letting him go play with Philadelphia. The stupidity is not being smart enough as an organization to build a good enough team to allow him to do this for you. And make no mistake, this year would have been the same. Maybe the Giants have a third win. Maybe they beat Washington that first game when they were right there and the drop pass by Neighbors cost them the game. Maybe they win that game. Like, they're not a winning team if Saquon Barkley's here. We're having the same conversation. I'm still talking about benching Daniel Jones. Like, it's the same thing. It's just, it's impossible. Like, they let a player go, they're stupid. They keep the player, they're stupid. They play the player, they're stupid. They bench the player, they're stupid. Like, there's nothing the Giants can do. Nothing. They still can't. I mean, the offensive line was playing better. Andrew Thomas goes down. Forget that. The defense was playing better. All of a sudden, their top cornerback is making business decisions on the field. They play a Commanders team that, what, they get 6 sacks against the first go-round? None in this game after leading the NFL in sacks. No QB pressure. Allow 3rd and 18 at the end of the half. Allow 3rd and 9 after a touchdown that got them within 1 score. Like, the defense fails at the critical moments. The offense is just flat out putrid. I don't care. 22 points. Bravo. Well, let's have a golf clap. Let's all celebrate a 22-point performance at home. The first time the quarterback's thrown a touchdown pass in that building in 600-plus days, and they haven't had a win in how long in that since they're 0-5 this year in that building. They can't win at home. Jose and Newberg, what's up, Jose? You're on the Fan.
Yeah, listen. God, this is so aggravating. Saquon, we should have traded him. I wanted to trade him.
Yes.
We weren't going to do nothing. We should have bit the bullet back then.
Yep.
We could have gotten something for him. Okay,
yeah, maybe a 3rd-round pick or something, but yes, 100%.
Bro, this whole fake 3rd-rounder's everywhere. Why can't we find one?
Yeah.
Well, all right, listen. I was a Daniel Jones guy till 2 weeks ago. I pulled the plug. Because I believe if we can build a good team, you can have an average quarterback. We can go far. Listen, at this point, man, everybody who's not a second round, in their second year or more, just anybody's up for trade. Sexy Dexy, I love the guy. He's one of the best in his position. It doesn't matter. By the time that we're competitive, he's going to be old or already on his way out. So let's just get whatever we can for everybody, man. Where's Kayvon? Where's Kayvon? All right. Look, this kid, Neighbors, I love the kid, all right?
You're not going to trade Neighbors.
No. What is he doing on the sideline hanging out with his buddy over there when we're losing the game?
Yeah, that's the NFL today. We'll get into that, and thank you for the call. I'm going to get into that next break, next segment. Look, I can't trade Dexter Lawrence. Like, what are you going to get for Dexter Lawrence? Like, you would have to get an absolute haul, and I don't think anybody's going to give it. I mean, maybe, but I can't trade away all my great. He's a great player. He's arguably the best defensive lineman in the sport right now. Like, that's the kind of season he's having. You got to keep some of your great players. I understand what you're saying about his age, and by the time the Giants compete. The Giants should be able to, football is built to be able to complete rather quickly. Like, it shouldn't take forever. This is year 3. They're 2-7. Like, that first year was such a disaster. And you're right, the Saquon Barkley, and that's why this year, forget it, trade everyone. The like, they were afraid of the team falling apart last year, and I don't know why. Like, this year, you can't have that fear. Let the team fall apart, bottom out. Finally, like, just let's do it. Let's be the worst team in the NFL. Why not? You've tried to do it every other way. Like, just bottom out and be the worst team in the NFL. Because in the NFL, I'm sorry, it's change the rules. I'm open to it. I'll sign the petition. Get a lottery so that so it's not just based on the most losses, the best chance to get a draft pick. Change it up. I'm open to it because I don't like this, having to feel like tanking is the best way to go. But under the current circumstances in the NFL, losing this game this Sunday is enormous for the New York Giants. It is huge. They need to lose this game against Carolina. And if you're a Giant fan rooting for a victory, like, I don't get it. I don't get it. I know there's many of you out there, hey, my team's my team. I wake up on Sunday, they're playing. I can't root against them. And sure, I understand. Like, watching the game, I'll have that unavoidable, like, oh, man. Or if they come up just short of if Wan'Dale Robinson runs another route just short of the sticks on 3rd and 7 and gets 6 yards on 3rd and 7, I'm going to be like, oh, my God, what an idiot. Or like, just go to the sticks, or I'll complain about a play. Like, that's inert. We can't change that. But ultimately, at the end of the game, we all know what's best for this team and where they are. And coming out today and just casually asking, yeah, he's our quarterback. Like, why? Why is Daniel Jones still the quarterback of this team? There's only one thing that can get worse than 2-7. One, him being on the team next year. That's it. Why are we risking worst case scenario at 2-7? To what? Win a game against Carolina in Germany? Who cares? That win will mean absolutely nothing by the time the 1 o'clock game starts. Like, no one's going to care. 1 o'clock, I'm going to put on the red zone and not even remember what happened in the Giant game if I'm a Giant fan. Who cares? They're irrelevant. This is the last. I'm doing the open now because I'm focusing on the Giants to start the show. One, because the situation with Gerrit Cole and the Yankees ended up becoming a non-story to me. And two, I don't know when I'm going to be able to yell about the Giants again. I don't know when we're going to talk about the Giants again. They're completely and utterly irrelevant. The only time I'm going to talk about the Giants again is if Daniel Jones gets hurt and it's going to be more yelling. I don't want to yell. I know it sounds like I do. I don't. And I guess I'll do Neighbors now real quick leading to the break, because I know there's a lot of talk about Neighbors on the sideline talking to Jaden Daniels and his complaints about the offense, which is now the second time he's kind of made these comments about play calling and I'm not the play caller and frustration. It's frustration with losing. That's what it is. His comments, at least. And look, he's a rookie in this league. And here's the bottom line with him on the sidelines. If you want NFL players to hate the opponent, if you want to act like this is their enemies and it doesn't matter where they went to school and doesn't matter if they grew up together, it doesn't matter if they played together only, you know, less than a year ago, it doesn't matter if they, you know, went to school together and parties together and grew up together and considered themselves brothers, all that goes out the window on an NFL Sunday, get a time machine and go back. Because that's just, it's unfortunate. I don't like it. I wish there was more of that element of hatred towards the other team. I wish there was that anger. There isn't. It's a new era. It's a new genre. I don't care because I know what's going to happen. We see guys exchanging jerseys at the end of the game. You go, Chris, that's the end of the game. I get it. I know. The minute I'm more concerned about Banks not giving effort, if I felt that he's not giving effort to help the Giants win on every single play, I have a problem. I have a problem. I don't care about anecdotal stuff about on the sidelines or in between games. We could yell about it. We could scream about it. Do I like it? No, I don't like it. The second I feel it's impacting his play, that's when it becomes a problem. That's all I can focus on. And I haven't seen anything that makes me feel like he's not out there busting his ass to be the best player he can be for the New York Giants. And the comments after the game speak to his frustration with the New York Giants. And I'm glad he's frustrated at 2-7. Because you know what? He comes from a winning culture. He comes from winning a lot of games in college. He doesn't expect to come here and be terrible like this. And it's not easy for a young man who went out there and tried to get and got a retired number and who's supposed to be the savior. And a lot, especially we all got to know him before the season even started with Hard Knocks and the pressure that came around that. All of it. He's supposed to come here and change this franchise, and they're 2-7. He's supposed to come here and change the quarterback, and, you know, idiots like me are screaming at 2 o'clock in the morning to bench him and never play him again. Like, he's supposed to come here and be effective and help turn this team around. He's dropped 2 critical passes, he's gotten hurt, and he hasn't impacted winning hardly at all. That's the bottom line. That's the bottom line when it comes to Malik Nabers. Not what he's doing on the sidelines, not who he's talking to. He's dropped 2 critical passes. 2. That I can't say directly cost them the game, but dramatically hurt their chances of winning 2 games. And if they won those 2 games, we're having different conversations right now. Nobody's talking tank with 4 wins. No one's talking at 4-5. No one's talking tank. This young man has had a lot of pressure on him. He's supposed to be the savior. He's the first real dynamic weapon they've had for forever. He has 2 big games that ultimately end with 2 critical drops. He gets hurt. He comes back. He hasn't been the same. The team is 2-7. We're talking about benching the quarterback, getting ready for next year, you know, and he's not used to it. And his frustration is boiled over in comments. Now, does he need to be talked to? Sure. Should the Giants get to him and say, hey, look, it's not a good look. The fans are going to get on you. The media is going to get on you. Wait till the end of the game and before the game to talk to Jaden Daniels. Like, is that what should be said to him? Absolutely. But I'm sorry if I can't get all bothered about it when I'm literally watching this team be lose every single which way. Getting blown out, figuring out ways enough to lose, the defense giving up big-time plays, the offensive line regressing, the quarterback being the same, you know, not good enough we've seen for forever. Like, the minute I don't see effort from him, then I will get pissed off. But in today's day and age, these players, we've talked about this forever. Whether it's coaches, managers in baseball, NBA coaches, how to relate to these young players, it's a different type of player, a different mindset. They don't have the same sort of, feeling that players had back in the day. There wasn't this culture of the other team's the enemy. Larry Bird doesn't exist in today's sports. And we can scream and cry that we wanted to. And is this going a little bit too far in the opposite direction to be yucking it up and trash talking and having fun with your buddy on the sideline while the game is going on? Sure. I'm not happy about it. But we've seen it time and time again. They're swapping jerseys. Like, they're praising each other. They're doing each other's podcasts midseason. Like, it is what it is. And we can be the old man screaming, get off my lawn. Or we could just understand it and be frustrated with it. But all I care about is the effort given. And I haven't seen anything yet to indicate that Nabers is either out of control, and again, we're comparing him to Saquon Barkley. I mean, to Odell Beckham Jr. Odell Beckham Jr. early on in his career was out of control. That game against the Panthers, he was out of control. He allowed the defensive back, what was his name? Newman? I can't think of his name at the moment. But he allowed the defensive back to get under his skin. He turned himself into a weapon on the field for no reason, just running and launching himself helmet first into players. He was committing penalties. He gave up on his team and was more focused about getting revenge on the field during plays than he was making plays for the New York Giants. That's when you have a problem. He was more focused on doing antics on the sidelines than making plays for the New York Giants. And that's where you have a problem. It became about him. I haven't seen yet Malik Nabers making this about him. I haven't seen him taking plays off. I haven't seen him not being willing to make a block or anything like that. So you want to get all riled up that he's talking to the enemy? I get it. And we can scream about it and yell about it and pretend like it's 1986 Lakers Celtics. It's not. It's not. Should it be? Hell, where can I sign? Let's go. Love rivalries. Love blood wars. Want more of it. It's just not what happens in today's NFL, NBA, Major League Baseball. It's not. These players are different. Free agency at this point has changed everything. I mean, I know free agency isn't exactly new, but by this point, the unions and all the different struggles they've gone through, like all of it has put these players, they consider themselves all part of one group. They are the players. And there isn't this bitterness or rivalry other than if something happens, like, you know, Joe Kelly gets into a fight with the New York Yankees and suddenly needs to dog them at every opportunity he gets for the next 10 years, that happens. But other than that, two teammates who played less than a year ago, they might have a conversation on the field, and we just got to live with it. 888-808-1019, McMonagle here with you on The Fan. I don't like it, but I like less seeing defensive backs take plays off. I like less seeing quarterbacks not being able to shift tight ends over to the right spot when the play is called for it. I like less seeing a defense give up a 30-yard screen pass on 3rd and 9 with an opportunity to get back on the field. That's what I'm focused on from last Sunday. That's what I'm focused on. I'm not focused on what Neighbors was doing in between plays. Not. And maybe I'm wrong. I'm focused on what's taking place with the team on the field. I'm focused on no sacks after leading the sacks in the NFL in sacks. I'm focused on a myriad of things. And right now, this week, I'm focused on why the quarterback is still playing. If only Daniel Jones could talk to bring back his entire Duke team. Put him on the opposite sidelines and let him pull up a chair and talk to them the entire game. I don't care.
Start some trouble and call The Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
And I'm surprised everyone's got a problem with what Malik Neighbors has to say about the play calling. All he's doing is holding the play caller accountable. Isn't that what we want? You got to hold people accountable. Accountable, accountable, accountable. Malik Neighbors is holding the play caller accountable. That's all. Seems like the right thing to do to me. If, you know, everyone needs to be held accountable. Otherwise, we have anarchy. Right? Otherwise, we have anarchy. Which is what I'm going to have tomorrow because kids are, I mean, we got a 5-hour midnight ride tomorrow. And I don't know if I'm going to be in, I don't know how it's going to go. I'll be totally honest with you. Yeah. Because no school for the kids, but my wife still teaches because they have meetings. So my wife has work, no school for the kids. Neither in-law is going to be able to watch said children. So I'm going to go home today and I'm right into all day kid duty. I don't know when I'm going to sleep. I don't know how this is going to go. My wife gets home from work around 3:30. I suppose I could sleep at 3:30, but there are things to do, things to watch. I mean, it's going to be tough.
Are there things to watch tomorrow?
I guess not that bad, right? I guess I could sleep tonight. But, you know, I like to think, prepare for the show, eat dinner. But, I mean, that's, I'm going to be exhausted. You know how it is, Marco.
I do. I'm actually not going to be here because of it.
See? There you go.
I knew I was only going to get maybe 2 hours. Now I'm looking at maybe 30 minutes.
Yeah.
So I'm thrilled I took off.
Yeah.
Thrilled.
Good for you.
I have parent-teacher conferences and back and forth. And yeah. So the window I saw was shrinking and shrinking and shrinking. And as you said 3:30.
Yeah.
By 5:45, I'm on the road to get here. And my day was going to end at like 5. I was like, I can't do it.
No, I mean, That's true. At least I have until midnight. I got to leave here at 10. I guess I could sleep from like 4 or 5 to 9, 10.
Yeah, but, I mean, skip the dinner. You can get some here. Come on.
Do we have anybody? Is anybody playing? The Knicks played tonight. Nets played tonight or last night. What do we got tomorrow on the schedule? Anything I have to watch?
The NBA's off for Election Day.
Oh, that's right. NBA's off completely. Rangers, Islanders, Devils played last night.
I think you're good. If any night, good. I think you're good.
I think I'm good.
You have an Islanders game.
I have to watch those Islanders.
I mean,
I'm going to do it in a 5-hour midnight ride. I'm going to do good 2-3 hours on the Islanders.
Easy. But still, I think you can get by. I think you can figure it out.
I guess that's it. All right. So maybe I'll actually come in here more refreshed than usual.
And if you get 5 hours, that'll be a lot more than usual.
I'll have a couple hours leading right into getting in the car and driving here. That actually sounds rather nice now that I think about it. Although the kids make it impossible.
And it gets dark out at 4:05, so you don't even have to go to sleep when it's light out.
Right. And there was a whole bunch of with the soccer practice, a lot of back and forth between the coach and some other parents, like, why are we still having soccer practice? I don't get home from work until 4:45, but yes, but that's when the sun is setting. Why are we having practice in the dark? I don't know, but still got a game this week. Don't you think we should have practice? Blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, no. Why?
How old are these kids?
5 and 7.
What are we practicing?
Yeah, I know, exactly.
You really think that's going to hinder them from game time?
My son's really good. He's never going to be a soccer player, yeah.
That's those fundamentals that the Yankees lack.
Right, those fundamentals that the Yankees lack. It's okay for you to say it. It is. It's okay for us to say it. It's okay for even to read the Dodgers report and be critical and go, man, even the Dodgers see what we see. Like, that's all good. But when, I'll do this in a bit, but when Joe Kelly, a former Red Sox, who got into a fight with the Yankees, and clearly when you listen to him, despises the Yankees and is spitting venom and is trying to make them look bad. They're the 8th or 9th best playoff team. My ass. He's so full of crap. Whatever we think of the Yankees, they were in the World Series. Stop telling me everybody was better. They were in the World Series. Right? Fundamental, sure. Bad defense, sure. We all saw the inning. They crapped all over themselves, right? And to the victor go the spoils, I guess. But I can't stand, however large a portion it is on social media or whatever, of the Yankee fan base that is looking at Joe Kelly and literally saying, preach. It drives me nuts. What happened? What happened? We got to talk about this. What happened to this fan base? The Yankees win the World Series. It's not good enough. I get it. Win a championship. But all the slings and arrows coming from everywhere, we got to go, see, I told you. I can't stand it. Maybe we stand up for our team. I'll talk about it in a minute. It bothers the hell out of me. 888-808-1019. I know Mark, he's giving you the look like we had the update too. But I know Marco sort of agrees with me, but doesn't really agree with me. But that's okay. The fan base needs to pony up here a little bit and have your back when other teams are chiming in. It's one thing for us to say it. It's like your brother. Right? We're talking about brothers.
Brother on brother crime, yes.
Someone, you want to make fun of your brother, that's fine. Someone at the bus stop starts making fun of your brother, you don't go, oh, you know, I've been saying the same thing for years.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.